Griff, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
All right. The obligatory / perfunctory quarterback question. What's the latest?
The latest is there's no latest. I mean, Kirby keeps playing it close to the vest, and, you know, it's clouded. It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, Kirby Smart's a good coach. He plays the best guys. But this is one that's a head-scratcher. Doesn't seem to be in a hurry to get JT Daniels on the field. Or is he? I mean, we really don't know. I mean, Stetson Bennett was plucked out of anonymity and suddenly became the starter overnight sensation. Could Kirby pull JT Daniels out of the blue and put him in the Kentucky game? Sure. Is it possible we may not see JT Daniels play this season? Sure. You know, the head coach here doesn't offer many answers.
Good point. I figured that's probably the answer, but I wanted to make sure that is what you were hearing. Is there any news out of camp that's noteworthy before we move on?
I don't know. I mean, Kenny McIntosh is a pretty talented running back. He hurt his knee running back kicks in the last game. I always wonder why coaches do that myself. But so we don't really know where he's at right now as far as his comeback. I think you'll see more Kendall Milton, although they trotted Zamir White out again yesterday in front of the media. So, again, it's almost a tug-of-war. Kirby almost seems to be stubborn in some respects, loves his defense, and, you know, seems determined to try and win with it.
You mentioned the kick return item. Jalen Waddle done, probably the best playmaker in college football with his hands on the ball, and he's out. Did you have a problem with that in the Alabama game, the opening play of the game?
Yeah, I think it probably cost Alabama a national championship, you know, just like Tua being in the game up 35-7 last year over Mississippi State on a bad ankle. I mean, the guy wasn't himself, right? Remember last year when Tua wasn't himself, he wasn't 100% from the ankle, and they're beating Mississippi State 35-7, and he's still back there running around throwing the ball. I just, at some point, I think roster management matters. And I'm not saying Nick Saban's not a good coach. I mean, I made that criticism on my timeline last night on Twitter. And Alabama fans, you know, oh, my gosh, Nick Saban's the great. Well, he is the greatest, but he made a mistake. Because when you've got an irreplaceable player, you don't put him back there. That's why when you turn on the NFL games, you don't see Ezekiel Elliott running back kicks. He'd probably be a pretty good one, Bill. I bet you Ezekiel Elliott would be I bet you Najee Harris would be a good kick returner. Saban going to put him back there? Listen, they've got 85 guys on scholarship there. The NFL has 53-man roster, and you do not see their marquee players back there returning kicks. Why? Because of their value to the team. Because of their value. In college, you've got 20 guys dying for an opportunity. You're telling me when you're a four. Now, look, when you're playing in a championship game, or even a rivalry game. And I've seen this before with other great coaches. They'll put a guy, like I remember Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State. When they were playing in a really big game, Le'Veon Bell might go deep. You go, oh, wow. You know, they're putting Bell back there. It's a big one, right? It's a calculated chance. And I don't think you do it against a 4-touchdown underdog any more than I think Tua should have been out there on a bad ankle with a 35-7 lead. I think Alabama fans would have to admit that if Tua stays healthy in 2019, they probably make the college football playoff. Not saying they beat LSU, but they probably make the college football playoff. All right? So to me, it's roster management. And when it comes to college coaches, Nick Saban is great. But he didn't do so good in the NFL. And maybe this is a reason why. I don't like it. I don't like seeing marquee guys back. I think there's a value. I think there's a level of common sense. I think these coaches now are out of control, though. They put the accelerator down, and they want to score as many points and use these kids up as much as they possibly can. And instead of – I'd be managing a team for a championship myself, right? Hindsight's 20/20. I don't know. Maybe Ohio State will put Justin Fields back there returning kicks. He's a pretty good runner. You know, it's just the logic and people. Well, he could have got hurt. You know, yeah, he could have got hurt walking out the door. I get it, right? You can't put the guys in plastic bubble wrap. And but to me, if I got Jalen Waddle, and he's the most dynamic playmate, and he is, I'm not putting him back there on kick returns. I'm saying no. There's plenty of time for that in your career. We'll play a receiver. We can find somebody else to return kicks. It's a very dangerous role on a football team returning kicks.
Were you surprised that the Alabama-Tennessee game is still quite one-sided?
This year, no. Alabama's one-sided with most teams they play. It's just bad luck for Tennessee that they got to play him every year. It really is. I'll tell you, the SEC could do everybody a favor if they move Auburn to the East Division and move Missouri to the West where they belong. I really don't understand that. I think Greg Sankey is one of the smartest people I've ever run across. I truly do. I think he's one of the best decision makers. But the idea that you still have Auburn in the West and Missouri in the East is just crazy to me. I mean, look where they're located. This is stupid. I mean, come on. You know, the whole thing about rivalry games, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, I mean, come on, that ship sailed, right? All it's done is cost Tennessee. It's probably cost them two or three trips to the SEC championship game because Saban's had a dynasty. He has. And I covered Alabama when the rivalry flipped. I was there when Peyton beat Alabama for the first time and flipped that rivalry in the 90s. I saw it. I still remember the Tennessee players standing on the benches singing, "We own Alabama." I remember it well. They owned Alabama. Fulmer made that game count. He put a priority on it. His guys were ready. They took pride in it. I don't see a whole lot of that right now. I see a lot of finger-pointing up there. It's not a good sight. It's not a good scene. Jeremy's got a challenge on his hands. The fan base is tearing him apart. Everybody's Facebook page wants to fire somebody. Every fan takes it upon themselves to criticize coaches and players and personally attack them. I mean, the personal attacks are disgusting, and the cowards don't even use their real name. And then they take pride in it, and you got people in Nashville writing stories about how great Val Twitter is. Oh, yeah, that's really great that you got a bunch of anonymous people attacking kids. Great job. That's part of the problem, is the social, the culture. It needs to change. Take pride in your players and your program. Look, Jaren Guyatano has spilled more blood and tears and sweat probably than anybody that's played there. He's been through coaching changes, offensive coordinator changes. Give this kid a damn break. It's sad. I don't even know why he's still there. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a kid take more abuse on social media than Jared Guyatano, and all he's doing is his best.
You covered the Big Ten, Michigan State, recently. You lived up there. You went to school up there. Wisconsin now has three quarterbacks out, at least at the moment, two of them positive for COVID-19. They may get a false positive back. They're retesting there. But as of right now, that's the story, and they're not with them. The starter, Jack Cohn's out with a foot, so they're down to a fourth-team quarterback. Want to get your thoughts on that. And the 21-day protocol, Griff, that they've got.
Yeah, it's sad. It's terrible. You know, it's because Wisconsin looks real good, right? And the Big Ten, you know, rigged up their schedule so Wisconsin and Ohio State don't have to play. How about that? How about that, huh? It's sad because, you know, you get these opportunity seasons. You know, Wisconsin's not like Ohio State. They're not going to be a perennial great team. They're usually pretty good. But it's really unfortunate, and it's more a sign of the times than it has anything to do with college football. You know, you look at the COVID numbers and the way it's sweeping through the Midwest, and, you know, it's scary. You know, stuff's not going away. And you got to keep your guard up. Like I said, it's more systemic of the COVID issue than it is college football. But with the abbreviated season that the Big Ten has, they really don't have any open weeks to build in bye weeks. It certainly puts the Badgers in a tough spot.
What'd you think about Michigan's performance Saturday night?
You know, the first week I try not to overreact too much because I don't know how good Minnesota really is. Obviously, they didn't scheme them too well. I'll tell you, the Michigan quarterback looked pretty good. That's as good as Michigan's looked in a long time. If Minnesota is legit top 25, then maybe Michigan has a chance against Ohio State this year. I was impressed with Michigan as I was unimpressed with Michigan State. What a pathetic performance. Seven turnovers. You know, Michigan State is really in dire straits, really made a bad hire. I like Mel Tucker, but he ain't worth $5.5 million. That was a panic hire. That program appears to be in disarray. Their recruiting is off the rails. They've made one mistake after another. It's another example. I'll tell you what it is, and Tennessee fans can certainly relate. When you've got a bad administration, it trickles down. I mean, that cost Tennessee for 10 years. Joe DiPietro and Jimmy Cheek, those guys were awful administrators when it came to athletics, awful. And it cost them. Made one bad decision after another. And I'm seeing it at Michigan State now. You know, when Luana Simon and Mark Hollis and the whole Nassar thing hit the wall, and they had zero answers, and they tried to scapegoat Curtis Blackwell, you know, the director of recruiting. You know, it was one embarrassment, one bad thing, one blow to the culture, and now their recruiting is off the rails. They've lost their pipeline to Detroit, and they've got an awful football program. And they probably won't be back for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. It takes time to get back. When you go on probation or when you have a serious setback with a bad coach, it's hard to get that momentum back. And I don't see Michigan State coming back for a while.
Griff, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it, Bill.
There you go.